Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the founding minister of Christ United Church. He is Right Reverend Fathering God, Dr. Frederick Eichrencoder, better known to millions as Reverend Ike.
Thank you, Church.
That is super good.
Okay. All right. All right, you may be seated. The next thing I want to see from you is your study guide. Open your study guide to the inside of the front cover. All right, you have your study guide. All right, very quickly, let's look at the first two pages, really, in the study guide, page 0 and page 1. And this page is titled, The Answer That You Need. And it's a series of prayers, which are treatments for the different problems that we meet in life. I'm not going to read all of this to you, but just say a few words in remark. And I've given these prayers to people over the years, in different ways, and in my letters and all of that. And they have been effective. And I want to quote Reverend Ike on something that he said here in one of the lessons. And this blows my mind. It's really two statements. Every prayer contains its answer. And I'm going to go you one better. The answer precedes every prayer. You cannot pray a prayer which answer did not come first. Well, then why do you pray? To help you open mine eyes that I may see. Now this should help you in your prayer work. Simply to realize that when you pray, the answer has already preceded. You remember when Jesus went to the tomb to raise Lazarus from the dead. He said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I know that you hear me always. But now stop and think about that for a moment. When you pray, you are never praying for anything that you don't have already. Say it that way. Somebody find that long poem by Retzema in the study guide. Is it 188? I at last have reached my goal and solved the mystery of my soul. I am that to which I prayed, that to which I looked for aid. I am that which I did seek. I am my own mountain peak. I upon creation look as a leaf in my own book. For I, the one, the many make of substance, which from me I take. For all is me, there are no two creation, is myself all through. When the Almighty God ensouled himself, herself, itself in you, God made you a complete person, left nothing out. Very soon, your whole prayer style should change. so that you're really never asking anything. And as Reverend Ike has said to us many times, you should get to that point where you only have one complaint. It has only one God, and you should only have one complaint. Oh, my cup! Run it over. And you'll have to share it with others. But stop and think about that. I was in a men's clothing store. I'm a shopaholic, you know. I love to shop, and I love to get, and I love bargains. And I didn't have any lack of anything. The man showed me these clothing that I liked so much. I'd never seen that particular brand before, and I liked them so much. And I kept saying to him, "Look, I don't have anywhere to put these things. You've got them hanging everywhere, even in the great room, all around the walls. The closets are full." And the man kept making a better deal every time. And I started to complain once again. I don't need. And finally, you see, there came a conversation between my intellect and what the Pentecostals would call the Holy Ghost. Finally, the Holy Ghost said to the intellect, "Shut up. Didn't I tell you I was going to run your cup over?" Stop resisting. Say to as many people as you can there, "Didn't God tell you I'm going to run your cup over?" There I was. You see, I had a great intellectual argument. You see, that's the whole thing. So many times people argue themselves right out of their blessing. And so I guess the Spirit let my intellect go on resisting and resisting. And every time the man would throw in an extra tie, he'd throw in an extra shirt, he'd come down some more. I don't know how he pays his rent. "Sit down, you rocking the boat." Say that to the folks. "Sit down." God's trying to run your cup over. And you talking about, "I ain't got no money." Come on. Lame excuse. I didn't ask you if you didn't have any money. Because, you know, there are really no poor people. Reverend Ike has told us, only people who do not know how rich they are. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Set you free from all want, lack, and limitation. Matter of fact, you see, the truth is you don't lack anything. Let's help one another now. Turn and say that to one another. You don't lack anything.
You don't lack anything. Say it. You don't lack anything. No, you don't lack anything. No. Now point at me and give me that blessing. Say it. The Bible says the man of God is complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Because if you go back to the pattern that you were made in Genesis 1, 26, 27, there was a conference of the Godhead. And it was suggested, let us make man. What kind of man? How are we going to design this man? In our image. In our likeness. Man, that's some stuff, isn't it? And I like the way the scripture doubles back and said, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. Then said to them, because you see, before God, the oversoul, as Emerson calls it, ensouled himself in and as man. You see, each one of you is an ensoulment of the infinite God. Created the whole earth first. All right, we're going to put man in this high class neighborhood. Makes Beverly Hills look like a swamp. We are going to put man in charge of this whole earth. Give him, notice the word, dominion. Good Lord. Let's say to the persons next to you again, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? God created you. God left nothing out. No want, no lack, no limitation. You see, what the theologians always tell us when it says these things is that God was talking about somebody else. God was talking about Jesus. I agree. But don't you forget the great revelation that knocked Paul off of his beast identity was the self-revelation, I am Jesus. Every time God talked to Jesus, he was talking about Natalie. You want to know who else? Call your name. And I've got news for you on that. That is not your name. There is only one name. The nature of your divine oneship, sonship. When that is revealed to you, just like it did with Paul on the Damascus Road, it knocks you off of that beast. Paul finally got up from there and prayed and was taught. He wrote again, it's no more I, but Christ. I love the song of Roberta Flack sings, I told Jesus, be all right if he changed my name. The changing of the name means the changing of your self-consciousness, the changing of your self-conscious identity. And it's not the ego. You see, some people sometimes have misunderstood me. Hey, Reverend, I think he's Jesus. I absolutely do. Hey, Reverend, I think he's God. I absolutely do. But not the human self-identity. See, that's another thing. And the Christian church is going to have to make some great changes in their doctrine, because Jesus is not cooperating with their "he's coming again someday." No matter how they try, they just can't trot him out. And they've given him so many curtain calls. Just like on the day of Pentecost, I can say, "Oh yes, the Christ comes again, but not as you saw Paul's." The Christ, individually and collectively, must come in us, through us, as us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And here's where the church is, and they've been there for the last 2,000 years, ever since Paul wrote it, it was John. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear. That's where they are. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I'm just going to lay it on the line to all of you right now. You are never going to see Jesus until you see him in you. That's when you see him as he is. Wow. That's a little heavy for some of you, I know. And each one should come to the realization and the demonstration of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The church isn't quite ready for this. They've caught up with me in something. They all preach in prosperity now. When I came along in the 60s and 70s preaching that, I was the worst thing going. They caught under that boy and they got that good. And they're going to have to jump on Christ in you before long. Was. All right, Sister Mary, read that scripture.
Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Uh-huh, let me finish on that. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I got news for you. All of God resides in your self-consciousness. You are a God center. You are the ensoulment of all that God is. And that's what made Jesus, Jesus. He came to that realization. I'm my Father, same one.
And ye are complete in him.
You are what?
Complete in him.
You are complete. You've got to learn to see him as he is. I don't care how much want, lack, and limitation you may be experiencing. You are complete. Oh my God. Complete, complete, complete. Look around at each other and say, you are complete. Now point at me and tell me that. The barefooted slaves picking cotton in the hot sun broke out in song as the Christ broke forth in their consciousness and began to sing, I got shoes. And you got shoes. I keep telling you about Reverend Bell, who was one of the first ministers I ordained here. Somebody told me that whenever somebody would come to Reverend Bell and said, Reverend Bell, I want you to pray for me for such and such a thing, she would look at them and say, you have it. What'd she say?
You have it.
With no long song and dance. She wasn't going to be counseling with you. See, that's another reason why I quit counseling with people so much. They just want to talk. Yaggity yag, yaggity yag. They want to tell me all their troubles and their problems. Honey, I don't want to hear. And you better be glad that the Almighty God can't. Oh, my, look what I have told these people. Oh, I remember from the Baptist church a couple of lines of that hymn. In heaven alone no sin is found, and there's no weeping there. Nothing's missing. And of course, you see, heaven is that highermost level of yourself. What did I say? It's not somewhere else. I am God and there is none else. Isaiah 45:22. I guess right now I quote that in my lessons more than anything else. I want you to think of all the good things that's in your heart that you desire to be, to do, and to have. And now I want you to turn around and as quickly as you can give this blessing to one another and point. You have it. Go ahead.
You have it.
You have it. All right. All of you give that to me in mass. Now let me hear all of you say in unison three times, Lord, I receive, thank you.
Lord, I receive, thank you. Lord, I receive, thank you. Lord, I receive, thank you.
Look in your mirror and say that to yourself. Have it. You always had it. You just didn't know it. I have made thee rich. How is it that thou art poor? I have made thee well. How is it that you are sick? I have made you strong. How is it that you are weak? That's why the scripture says, let the weak say,
I am strong.
Now, you see, just in the intellect, that sounds like we are being told to lie. But as I've told you before, if you say I'm weak, you're lying. That's a lie about you. God never made anything weak. A song I don't sing is this thing, I am weak, but thou art strong. That you got to watch what you say. See, never make God one thing and you another. As I've told you before again and again and again, that is really the one sin. And there's only one what? One complaint. Now there's only one sin. There are not a lot of sins. The preachers have got you fooled on that. The theologians made you an original sinner. Whoo! I tell you, you got to watch religion. How can anybody read the Bible and talk about original sin? Sin is not original. Righteousness is original. And even this business of being born again, you know what it is? It means being born back again into the consciousness of your original righteousness. You cannot become something which you are not already originally. That's why you can be saved, because you were lost from yourself. Woo! Can I get a shout in here? Woo! That's the meaning of lost. Lost from yourself, from your true self, from your original self, the self that God created. And you have been living the life of an imposter. Yes. I'm the great pretender. And here you are, the king's rich kid, going around here pretending to be poor. Lying on yourself. Take Reverend Bell's treatment. You have it. Now I ain't got time to be yakety yak about it. You have it. Either get it. You had it from the beginning. You were never without it. That gives me a chance every once in a while. I just love to tell a couple of these old stories. Gives me good excuse not to tell that, oh hell, I'm well again. I know you want to hear that. Even if you don't, you better say you do. You're going to hear it. Back in the old horse and buggy days, this lady had been sickly for so long. And she tried all of the doctors of that day and all of the snake medicines and all of that. If Reverend Ike had been around, she would have even gotten the prayer cloth. Nothing helped her. Her husband took her to the various doctors, did everything he could. Nothing helped. One day, as the husband rode his horse to town on a very important mission, and he was coming back to the house, all of a sudden out of the chimney kitchen he saw smoke rising. And he saw clothes hanging on the line. Clothes just hanging on the line, clean, blowing in the breeze. And so he had to do a double take. Is that my house? And I haven't seen any smoke in that chimney for years unless I put it in there. So he rode up to the house and he went in, and bless God, there was his ex-invalid wife just switching in the kitchen, cooking up all kinds of good stuff like she used to. And he walked in astonished and said, "Baby, what are you doing?" "I'm cooking." She said, "And baby, what about those clothes on the line? Who washed them?" She said, "I washed." He said, "Well, how come all of this all of a sudden? Did you take that new medicine I got for you?" "No." "Did you say those new prayers?" "No." He said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, you know, I was laying there in the bed sick and miserable. And you had done everything you could to help me and all of that. Nothing was working. And I was just hurting and miserable. And I said, all of a sudden, I just threw back the cover on the bed and said, oh, hell, I'm well." All of you that's got these long-time complaints, that's powerful prayer. Okay, you are complete. You have it. Now you remember that, and you've got some powerful prayers.